from professional people, from the trade union, from vested interest groups, the people in common seem to respond amazingly well. If you consider that after all what Burton has said about the dark days, that now are tens and hundreds of thousands of retarded people are every day on the streets using streetcars and subways and walk and some hold jobs, others go to workshops and so on. They're moving about. The sum total of untoward circumstances, incidents, is just surprisingly low. Surprisingly low. And even in New York City, we had amazing circumstances. A little fellow got lost for 2.5 days in the subways, and he finally surfaced, and surfaced a hole and a half and so on. No, I think people have a far greater tolerance when they are face-to-face with the individual. I'm afraid, and what you say about special educators, I'm afraid of my fellow social workers and their damn restrictive attitudes engendered by the nonsense they're learning. I still feel that the textbooks, which are used in pediatrics, in psychiatry, in psychology, many of them are 20 and more years out of date, if published in 77. That one I do, but I... Please, Bert, be kind to people. People are okay. Now, you may say, why in hell do people allow the AMA and the AP, both APAs and so on, gain that influence? Okay, you got me there. We are in a situation where we are dominated by special interest groups. Now, please, I have no special interests, you know. Unless it's you. But that is a real problem. Now, one thing I wanted to point out, because I'm not doing anything, as I have been really pleased that we seem to be finally going great guns on helping young children to know something about handicap. I think we are about to really operationalize that Dick and Jane are going to have an aunt who's in a wheelchair, and maybe someday a father will break a leg or lose an eye or otherwise no longer run around in these good clothes with that ridiculous briefcase, and so on. And I have seen a good number of materials now. So, of course, there is reason for us to be concerned. How can we help young children? But on the other hand, you see, I have witnessed, and thanks to Rosemary's influence, we have been visiting mixed facilities, and I've seen for years and years kindergartens and nursery schools where you had severely handicapped, both physically and mentally, children among the others, and, you know, it worked out just fine. But by the way, Bert, if we say, how can we influence the people? That's terribly big. But if we say, how can we improve textbooks? You know, that would be different. There is here we could divide up this group. You take psychiatry, you take pediatrics, you take psychology, and so on. And we could try to influence, to some extent, at least the knowledge that is gone.
Can I make a recommendation? There's even something more primary than textbooks. You know, there's something in the Talmud which says that before you try to change the world, you change yourselves. You really have to start with yourself. That's the beginning context. Everybody seems to be running around and they're tripping over each other, changing the world, and they're immune. They're immune to the disease in some way. They don't have the we don't have the prejudices. Why is it that Gunnar and I assume that everyone in this room is sympathetic to what we're saying? That there's no one here who is callous about the handicapped. And wherever we go, you never find anybody that is the bastards. They're always somewhere else. They're so elusive. You know, we tell each other that there are millions of them all over, you see, everywhere, but they're never near us. We're either the luckiest people in the world or we're about as foolish as anyone else because we don't want to look for it in ourselves and with our friends and with our close associates. And so, you know, while we try to change the world and get the state to change and all of the institutionalizers to change, we have to start with ourselves. And we have to remember one other thing about all of this, I think. It's going to be very easy. It is very easy for you to blame the state and blame the superintendent of the institution or the officials or what have you. And you know, there are often good reasons you have to blame them for so many of the problems we have. Some of them are foolish, you see. Some of them have been mendacious. Some of them have done stupid things. But so often when we look to blame other people for these problems, it leaves us free not to have to deal with it, you see. And if blaming other people absolves you from the responsibility, then you contribute to the evil. Not just you, but me too, you see. So I do think that you have to not only personalize this, you have to internalize these things, these values that we've been speaking about, and you literally have to work at changing yourself. That's where you start. And as you do this, then I think you have not only more credibility, because that's a political issue, but you become much more effective in helping others to change and to do what you think is important.
We started out to answer your question, sir.
Of course.
After this, would anybody else dare raise a question? Somebody else make a comment. Yes.
In response, I think there share what you said, that what of the vested interest in this country. I've seen across the country in establishing community residences or deinstitutionalization, that the leadership of the country, of the state, has a lot to do with what happens in that state. Where you go in and someone has already fought for the establishment of a zoning law, a statewide zoning law, where you don't have to battle it in every community. We see that I share your feeling that most people will be tolerant. There have been communities where I've seen 15, 20 homes established and impact upon a community, but where someone has said this is good and this is right and the law is, and these people have a right to live here, we haven't seen any objection from those communities. And they've lived with it and try to understand. We come into a state like Massachusetts and no one says that. We have all sorts of laws. We have 766. But I've never seen the governor get on TV.
But you're going to cause them to do that, Charlie. You see, the thing that's so hopeful about this whole Communities for People movement is that, different from Gunnar and me, who don't have the privilege of actually implementing these great new programs, so we can talk about them, we can visit them, and we can be external criticizers of them or supporters of them, you've been able to make demonstrations that not only speak far more eloquently than our words or pictures, but give everyone the hope. And what you're doing, Charlie, And this is what, to me, is so important about the movement. In the long run, more important than what you're doing for individuals, not in the short run, of course, but in the long run, is that you're creating a different language about disability, a different idea about disability. You're putting ideas in the minds of these state officials, and also in the minds of lots and lots of people who are now high school kids and college kids, who will someday be the governors and the state officials, where it's just a matter of time before things change. Tom Zaz, in one of his books, The Manufacture of Madness, said something that I've always thought was one of the wisest thing that wise guy said, and that wise man said. And that was that wars are no longer fought anymore for land, or even for gold. It might be fought for oil someday, for energy. But since the turn of the century and before, nations haven't fought wars for the acquisition of land or even gold. They fought wars for the acquisition of the language, for owning the language. The one who owns the language has the biggest stick, because eventually the language will determine what people do and what people get. And you're changing the language. It's only a matter of time before the state will be forced to, they'll see it themselves, to get rid of the fernals, you see, and to develop different programs. There will be no other way out for them. And that's because you're changing the language, and you're doing that by implementing these programs that you are. So you got to win. You've got to win.
Give this man an extra sandwich. You had...
Part of that battle is going to take place around the legislators. Part of that change. I think a big piece of it, you know, is the humanism of this quote.